I'm compulsive overeater. And it's good to be here tonight, you know, and it's amazing, you know, that you come to a meeting and you sit down, you hear all the readings, and I'm in another 12-step program. So the readings are almost the same, you know, and so I can see the similarities in our programs and stuff. But I really love Overeaters Anonymous. There's some real kind, good people I've met here, you know. And, you know, and when I look back at my life and I think about how, you know, my first compulsive was to overeat. The first thing that I ever done was to overeat, you know. That's the first way I ever knew how to duck my feelings when I felt something that made me feel comfortable in my skin. Ease and comfort that I got from food. You know, and I didn't know that. I was a peewee and I didn't know that. But, you know, as I grow older and older, you know, but I didn't have a problem with the weight as much. So it didn't matter. It just, I just thought that's what we did. And then the Black culture, in our Black culture, you know, weight's not a problem in our culture. It's just not, you know. And so it's easy to be overweight and be okay because nobody's poking at you too much, you know. You know, until you get obese like I became, and then it's different. But if you just overweight, it's fine, you know. So I never thought that being big boned or big meant much. It actually was an asset to me, you know what I mean? So, you know, but what happened was, you know, I went through some changes when I first got married and moved us on up. And I turned to a drink for ease and comfort. And so what happened was I started drinking myself into a whole lot of problems. And what happened was, I couldn't see the food. It smothered the food. It sat on top of the food. And as I came into a 12-step program in another fellowship, and I got sober and something started to happen, you know, I stopped doing some bad behaviors. And next thing you know, I wanted to eat everything I could. You know, and because now my food compulsion kicked off strongly, because what happened, I had to lift this alcoholism up off it, and the bottom line, it went wild, you know. And and next thing you know, I'm up in weight, like, you know, like maybe 50 pounds 60 70 pounds overweight, you know. And I was on this yo-yo thing. I mean, I lost weight, I, you know, run, I exercise, and then I gain it back and some extra, and I gain it back and some extra, you know. But when I'm this other 12-step program, I stayed there and I worked the steps. I really worked the steps. I was really involved in this program. And so what happened, I found an ease and comfort there. And what happened was the food got hidden again almost, because I didn't feel bad about how I ate. And I could always exercise or run it off at the time. You know, and as I got older, that wasn't happening. But an ease and comfort had came from working the 12 steps of the program. So I didn't think nothing was wrong. I couldn't foresee that a Oreo cookie could have this kind of power over me. You know what I mean? I could not perceive that. I could not see it, you know? And what happened was I started to have to run into these doctors, and these doctors keep telling me, you know, you're a young man, but you're going to get diabetes, become a diabetic. Or they will tell me, you know, your blood pressure is up because of how you eat. So I started having a lot of physical problems. But now I see that maybe I started, and maybe 25 years ago, I came to Overeaters Anonymous. And I walked into the meeting. It was in Edison, up across from Kennedy Hospital. And I went there and I started to hear what they was talking about with the food. And I start knowing, you're a food addict. And then what happened to me was that I kept coming. Then I found a meeting in Holland Park. That's where I met Ross at, in Holland Park, 25 years ago. And Ross been in my life, you know, over out in and out for 25 years, him and Mike. And they took me up to this Catskills, for this weekend. And it was one of the greatest weekends I had. And I was absent. I was absent for a whole year. I weighed and measured every meal. I lost like 70, 80 pounds. You know, I was running. I was eating right. You know, I felt tremendous. But I knew I couldn't hold the scale thing down. It just wasn't going to happen. You know, I'm the kind of person, you know, everybody's, I guess, a little different when it comes to their abstinence. I'm the kind of person that needs a spiritual awakening. I need to change spiritually where the obsession to compulsively overeat actually leaves. Maybe a couple years ago, me and Ross reconnected. Now, what happened, Ross would call me. And every now and then he would just call and just say, "Calvin, how you doing, man?" And so what happened was a connection was built. So I knew where to go when I was in trouble. Then I hooked up with Mikey. And so I knew these guys. And I started going to the days of sharing and stuff like that. But I couldn't stop eating. I would leave there and go right to the diner and eat like a crazy man. You know, and I could see the obsession. I could see the compulsion. And the doctor's telling me, you know, I remember I was in therapy, and the therapist told me, she said, you know, I told her, she's seeing how happy I was almost all the time. She said, "But you're going to be fat, happy, and die, Calvin." That's what she told me. And I needed to hear it just like that. She said, "Calvin, the train's going to pull into the station." You know, and it don't have to. And it don't have to pull into the station. You know, and everything was getting me ready for you guys. And I started going to the East Bundling meeting. And then I got, and then me and Ross, I hooked up tight, you know, and really close. And I would call him, and COVID hit. And we really got to be close. And I would call him, and I would, you know, go to the Jackson meeting, or I'd go to this meeting, go to that meeting on Zoom. And then what happened was, you know, about 6 months, about 8 months ago, I started to pray and meditate. I always prayed, but not like this. I would hit and miss it, right? But I started praying. And I call Ross almost every day. You know, I'm missing here and there, but overall, I'm calling him almost every day. And I started to pray and meditate. And I started praying with this guy every morning, 8 months ago. And I haven't missed a day in 8 months, getting up in the morning and meditating. First, we started with 15 minutes. And now we're up to half an hour. Every morning, same time. If he got sick or somehow, he had in a car accident, and he had to go, and he went to the hospital, and I still kept going. And something happened, a shift happened, a spiritual shift happened. In that time, I started calling Ross every day. Every day. I didn't miss one day. And I very seldom will miss a day now. If I miss a day, he's going to call me and say, "What's wrong?" Because he knows I don't miss calling him every day. And I was like, you know, not eating no sugar and doing this, that, and the other, but I was still playing with the food. By the meditation and calling Ross every day, the shift happened, and I got abstinent, 100% abstinent, 6 months ago. I have a peace of mind with me beyond my understanding. To be free of the food is amazing to me today. My spirituality has grown like unbelievable to me. That's the most important thing in my life. You know, me and Ross talk every morning. We don't talk about food as much as we talk about a lot of other things. We talk about service work. We talk about, you know, the 12 steps. So God knows what we're going to have a conversation about. I tell him, like, every day is going to be, every day with me and him is different. I have a relationship with another man that I really respect and trust. I don't mean to talk about him like that, but I'm just trying to explain how good it is to have a sponsor in this program and somebody to connect with about this food. And when I'm in trouble, I can go to him and ask him. Or he keeps me straight about certain things not to eat and what I should and what I shouldn't be doing. You know, and I want to tell you a fast story. I told Ross this one day, and I'm a big dude, right? I didn't lose some weight, but I was, so I went out there at Burlington. They got a big man shop, right? So I go out there and find me something to put on, right? So I went out there in Burlington. You know, and they had them change the dressing room, right? They were reorganizing the store. So they put the dressing room in the middle of Burlington, right? So they made this makeshift dressing room. I go in and I buy these clothes, right? And I mean, I buy them, but trying them on, you know. And when I would sit on the bench, they half put it together. The bench collapsed and the walls fell down. And I'm sitting in the middle of Burlington, butt naked. Now, that had to be a sight, you know? I just hurried up and got myself together. And when I walked out the door, I told him, "Hey, man, something just fell down back there." I went out the door. You know, And I see just by having the 12 steps in my life, I'm very seldom embarrassed. You know, and they say it's hard to embarrass a humble man. I don't know how humble I am, but I know I wasn't that embarrassed, but I know well, nothing I could do about this. You know, and I think about them kind of things that has been removed from me. You know, and just, you know, I am who I am. I walk flat footed on my own feet.
5 minutes, Calvin.
All right, Biff. And I'm going to close it up now because I can't really got a whole lot more to say. I don't have much more to say. But I know that where I'm placed at today, I got a son. I don't talk about it. I got some kids. One kid that made $1 million. The other one, they went to jail. And this kid never get in no trouble. And he wasn't just no black kid from the ghetto or something. This kid been, I took him to decline the mount, the pyramids of Chichen Itza. You know what I mean? We would go down and rent a condo every summer on the beach. You know, but he was overweight. And I believe self-esteem is a killer. And my son, self-esteem suffered. And he would get beat up from time to time. But he got one of them things in his hand. And he said, ain't nobody going to touch me no more. And he got in a lot of trouble. Self-esteem's a big issue, man. To not have self-worth. So I'm gonna close up with that, you know, and I'm just every, you know, just but because of these 12 steps, no matter what I go through, I can get to the other side of it. And I just believe that. And they said we can match calamity with serenity. Things are gonna be upside down over here and get peace at the same time. I know nothing of this, but that's what has come to me now. Through a loving God and through prayer and meditation every day and talking to a good sponsor. Thanks for letting me share.